And I hope that you have your study guide that you'll find in your big pack of stuff in that bulletin this morning. There's a lot of stuff in there, wasn't there? But it's all important, and it's important that we take a look at it. One of those is a study guide. It looks like this. Here's mine. It's all filled out. You can see it. It's right there. And we're going to need it today as we study again part two here in the Proverbs in a sermon that I call Words for the Wise. In the series that we're doing in the Proverbs, it's called Standing on My Shoulders. Stand on My Shoulders, which is what the Proverbs really is for us. And okay, so let's begin with the word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we open our words again of the scriptures and the Proverbs to study them, I pray for special guidance, especially today, asking for your blessing to be here and to fill us, Lord, with your presence and with your grace. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start with a quiz. And I know you're so smart, you already know the answers. What is like an army smashing through the walls of a fortress? What is like a spear that impales? What is like food that nourishes a starving person? Or the sound of a gentle stream that soothes? Anybody got an answer for me? The Word of God? That was good. Who said words? Did you say words? Words is the answer. You know, friends, words are powerful. You know, when I thought about that, how powerful words are, I thought about this that I've got up here. Then the Constitution, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are powerful words, aren't they? They separate this nation from every nation on the planet and make it unique. You know, there are other words that are very powerful. Words are powerful. I'll give you an example. Hebrews 1:3 says, He, Jesus, upholds all things by the what? Word of His power. Or how about this one? 2 Peter 3:5. By the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, which is talking about creation, of course. Words are very, very, very powerful things. In the book of James, chapter 3, we find this about words. He writes that the tongue, one of the agents used in producing words, is like a powerful rudder that has the ability to change the course of life. He says in James 3, verses 2 to 10, he says that the tongue is such a small thing, but it sets aflame the body apart. It boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and set on fire the course of life and set on fire by hell. You know, it's incredible. The tongue, words are powerful. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is that the Proverbs talks about words. In fact, in the Proverbs, there are over 66 verses dealing specifically with words in one way or another. And so it's an incredibly important topic for us to study as we study the book of Proverbs. If we want to stand on shoulders, this is the one. And I'd like to share with you, if you just like to have the bottom line of what the Proverbs says about words and how you can stand on the shoulders of the ancients and understand how to use words, it's right here. Write this down in your study sheet. The Proverbs asked us to consider the value of words. To consider the value of words. And what I mean by this is the Proverbs asking us to consider words as if they're valuable so that we be careful how we spent them. Imagine for a moment that every word that you spoke, imagine that it cost you something. Okay, now I'm going to think about that for a minute. Imagine that every word that you spoke was tied to, say, some dollar value that was just high enough that before you actually said those words, you would think before spending them. Just as an example, the sermon that I prepared here today for you is about 1,900 words. If each of those words was 25 cents, I calculated that that would be $475 that I'd be spending here today. And I guarantee you one thing, you can ask my wife, she'll tell you it's true, that before I would spend that kind of money, I would do three things. And I think you would too. The first thing I would do is I would think about it before spending it, wouldn't you? The second thing I would do is I would consider how I was spending that $475. And the third thing I would do is I would consider why I'm spending that $475. Now, the question is, would you? And what the Proverbs does, and what we're going to see as we keep going, is the Proverbs is really asking us to consider the value of words, because words are powerful. And if we are willing to consider them, it'll change things. Let me give you an example. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth out evil things. You see the contrast? One is valuing the words they say, the other one is just spitting them out. Proverbs 10, 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Are you seeing this? Or how about this one? Proverbs 17:27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Or maybe this last one. This is Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. You know, if there's young people here today, that last one's a pretty important one. I can give you an example of that. You know, many years ago, when I graduated from college, I graduated with a systems engineering degree, and I started working at the Air Force Research Lab, or basically right Pat, where I was working in that area. And we were going to go out on a major contractor review on the West Coast to a major radar house that was building a radar for this particular contractor that we were working on. And there were only like three of us government guys, and I was one of them, a newbie. And I was sitting there in the meeting as I was listening to all these technical things happening, all of them going over my head, you can imagine, right? I was sitting there, I didn't say a word. And I could tell that in the eyes of those contractors, I was getting smarter every minute. I'd just sit there and shake my head, yes, and just sit there. You know, this is true. The Proverbs is so true about what it says about words. By the way, they didn't find out I was a newbie until after we had a break and I happened to open my mouth. But the point is that what the Proverbs say about words is so true. The Proverbs wants us to consider how we look at words. Write this down. Proverbs asks us to consider our words as if they were valuables, so we would be careful how we spent them. And if you could get that, then you have gotten the wisdom of the Proverbs right there this morning. If you can get that. Now, I'm not going to quit there. I'm going to actually explain why you need to consider your words as valuables. And here's the reason. You ready? Boom. Write this down. The reason that you need to consider your words as valuables is that our words reveal the state of our hearts. Our words reveal the state of our hearts. The Proverbs says this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4 says, "The words of a man's mouth, or a woman's, are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." And that is so true. We draw out what's in us, and it comes out through our words. Jesus talked about this. Let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35. Now, he's speaking to the Pharisees, so I'm not saying this to you, okay? Verse 34. "For the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And of course, the beginning part was, you brood of vipers. I didn't put that in there. I thought maybe I wouldn't endear me to you guys too much. You brood of vipers. But the point here is very clear. Jesus is telling us that out of the heart, the mouth speaks words. And we either bring them out of two sources. You bring it out of the source that's the evil treasure, or the source that's the good treasure. I like to think of that as the flesh. We draw from the flesh. And what the point is that the words we speak come from the treasure what we draw from. Write that down. The words you speak comes from the treasure that you draw from. It reveals the state of your heart. And so as Christians, New Testament, New Covenant Christians, we can be led by two things, right? We can be led by our flesh, or we could be led by the Spirit. So let's think of it this way. The words that come out of the evil treasure come out of our flesh. The words that come out of the good treasure come out of the Spirit, right? Walking after the Spirit, love, joy, peace. You've heard those things before. And so I want to stop here to ask you the question. I want to just pause for us to think about something as Christians. How should we deal as Christians with the words that are spoken to us? And the reason I say that is that as I've been a pastor, one of the things that I've done is people, when I get to a church, the first thing they do is they hand me the membership list and tell me to go find all the missing members, right? And I look at the list, and these are people that have been in church in 20 years. And invariably, if I can ever get a hold of one of them and talk to them, almost always someone will say, well, you know, somebody said something to me at church. It was words that they said. And that always surprised me, because Christians are supposed to be people who understand grace. Now, hear me out. Let's say you're confronted with a brother or sister that suddenly is using words that you know are coming from the treasure of their flesh. And then after the shock is worn down, okay, what your response should your response be? You're a Christian. You know that there's these two places where people could draw from. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. Suddenly a brother comes up to you and they are clearly walking in the flesh. Your first answer should be this. Whoa, that person needs grace. Did you understand what I'm saying? That person is walking in their flesh. There's only two choices. Romans chapter 8 tells us you either walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, the result is death. If you walk in the Spirit, the result is life. So what does that brother or sister really need? They need grace. They need someone to pray for them. They need somebody to respond to them in a way that's going to lead them back to the cross, to lead them back to Jesus Christ, the one who saved them, so that they can receive grace. But what do we often do? A brother and sister comes up to us, and they're responding. Their words are coming out of the flesh. They're pouring forth like that fountain, the evil fountain, you know. It's not the one pondering what to say. Rah! You know, it's coming out like vomit. And what do we do? What do we do? We want to see how much taller we can get on top of them. I can puke further than you can. In other words, we respond in kind, don't we? And this has always baffled me. Because as Christians, we're supposed to understand that we're saved by grace. How can we project grace? If you see a brother or sister who's using words that come from the evil treasure of their heart, how should you respond, right? Well, the Proverbs is going to show us how we should do that. The Proverbs is going to help us to understand how that is done. You see, because the Proverbs are here to help us see the difference between grace-filled words and flesh-filled words. So really, write that down. The Proverbs is going to help us see how we can avoid spewing out stuff from the flesh, and how we can now learn to speak words that come from grace. And so let's take a look at that. We'll start here with the grace-filled words. Write this down. In the Proverbs, Grace-filled words are those that bring what? Healing. Grace-filled words are words that bring healing. Let me share with you what I'm talking about. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it happens all the time, doesn't it? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Here's another one. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. You know, there are a lot of people out there today who have anxiety. And I don't blame them. We live in a pretty world that creates anxiety, doesn't it? But a good word makes it glad. It's like medicine. How about this one? Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so here we see it again. When a brother or sister is having a bad day or there's a conflict over something and words start coming from the flesh, the grace answer is, let's see if I can calm this person down and show them their need for grace. And it ends the whole thing. Proverbs 25:11. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Isn't that powerful? Or this one, Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. And so grace-filled words, we just saw, they can be healing, they can calm the angry, they're as valuable as gold, they can be like life-giving food to those who hear. Now, how many of you would like to be people that could talk grace every day of your life? I know I need that work on my life, to be able to talk words of grace, words of healing every day of my life. Okay, well, in contrast to words that heal, grace-filled words, so there's the grace part, you know you're walking in the Spirit if your words are grace-filled, is the flesh-filled side. Let's take a look at those for a minute. In the Proverbs, flesh-filled words that hurt come in two flavors. And here's the first flavor, right here. Words people serve up as gossip. Words people serve up as gossip. Let's look at this text, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts, of the body. Now, gossip is where we talk about people instead of talking to them in general, but Webster's Dictionary actually has a definition. Oh, it's not this one. You ever see this cartoon? I didn't know there was an idlegossip.com. You know, it's so much part of our society to talk about other people. Webster's Dictionary says that gossip is a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts or rumors about others. And my question really is that how can we know if we're doing it? You know, someone once said that Christians do not gossip. They simply share prayer requests. And as I was thinking about this idea of gossip, it really struck me. I said, well, you know, we really do share prayer requests, and oftentimes it involves other people. How do we know if what we're doing is simply gossiping or whether it's grace-filled? And I came up to this conclusion that this is something that it might work for me, and I'll put it up here so you could see it. It's sort of like my own little proverb. And that is this: a surgeon and a butcher both cut meat, but they do it for different reasons. You see, the surgeon cuts the meat, but he does it for the purposes to heal the person or to be some type of healing involved in it. But the butcher cuts the meat simply to serve it up to people to eat it. And I think that if we as Christians, as we think about how we communicate with others, if that communication is healing in some way or brings glory to God, then perhaps that is not gossip. But if it's simply just to relay something that someone else said or someone else did, then it could just be like the butcher. We're simply serving up others' miseries or lives, and we're doing it just for dainty morsels. But let me share with you what the Proverbs say of why these kind of words can be dangerous. Let's go ahead and look at some of these. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Now, here's an example of these kinds of words. Well, someone who gossips can actually spread fire around, strife amongst people. They can separate intimate friends by sharing these kinds of things. Another example is Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, a fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. You know, it's invariably that you're going to have conflict. Why do we have conflict? Well, the number one reason we have conflict is because someone has this idea, they want it done this way. Someone else has this idea, they want it done that way. And the instant you have two people wanting to do the same thing different ways, you have conflict. All right? And so once you have conflict, the way you deal with conflict is that you begin, there are biblical ways of dealing with conflict. But one of the ways that really hurts is that when there's a conflict that goes on and you have people that keep the conflict going. You know, it's a fact of nature that if you let a conflict sitting there and you let the wood go out, the fire goes out, the conflict's out. But if you have people that are spreading it around, you're simply adding wood, and contention never quiets down. So those are examples of these flesh-filled words. How to do that? Proverbs 11:13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. And so one of the areas in the Proverbs where we can have flesh-filled words is how we relay information about others. Is it healing or is it hurtful? The second way in the Proverbs, it talks about words, write this down, words that deceive, words that deceive. That's the other category in the book of Proverbs. Example, Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. One of the interesting things in the Bible, and if you want to write this down right after that, is that in the Proverbs, to lie is the same thing as to hate. Did you catch that? It equates the idea of deception with hatred. If you lie, you hate. You're actually showing that you hate other people. And I found that so interesting because I found an article that I had saved back because I'm a techie kind of guy. And this article was in the Daily Mail, and I copied it. It says, the real 2001, you know, from the movie A Space Odyssey. It says, scientists teach robots how to trick humans. And what struck me about this is that I used to do contracts with Georgia Tech. These are the scientists there. And I know that these guys are not doing these contracts. These two scientists aren't doing this because they just thought up an idea. They're doing it because the government asked them to do it. And what's interesting is that our world is going to be saturated with artificial intelligence systems in the next 10 years. And these guys are teaching them how to lie to us. When you see your government is using deception to advance an agenda, what are they really saying to you? They hate you. That's right. And we as Christians, if we're going to reach a world that's lost, the first thing they need to know is that through our words that we love them. And so instead of being like this, we would be like this. Proverbs 24:26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Do you think about how beautiful that is? Truly, that's one of the big issues that's going to confront us in the end days, is deception. The Bible talks about it over and over and over again. And we should be people that are always giving kisses on the lips because our answers are always honest. Amen? You think that's true? Amen. And so I just wanted to share with you that the Proverbs and words are very important, aren't they? And if we consider our words as valuables, if we put a dollar value to every word we say, we will wait until we speak, right? We won't let it just spew out. We'll wait until we speak. But I want to close briefly with just three reasons why you should value your words. Three reasons why you should value your words, okay? In the Proverbs. Here's the first one. Your words are valuable because you are. Write that down. Your words are valuable because you are. You know, what's the message of the Bible with respect to you? If you were a person and you didn't know anything about God or Jesus, and someone gave you a Bible and plunked it down there and opened up John 3:16 and showed it to you, what is the message that the Bible gives about you? You are valuable. And the point that I'm making here is that if you treat your words as valuable, you won't degrade yourself. You won't devalue yourself. That's probably the greatest lesson we could learn. Because God sees you as so valuable. When we use words that come from our flesh, and instead of words that come in grace, really what's happening is we're devaluing ourselves. We're lowering ourselves to a place where we don't belong. We are very valuable, right? Okay. The second one reason that you should value your words is this. Your words reflect your loyalty. Your words reflect your loyalty. Let me read our text again, our text that we were going to read today. Proverbs 16:13. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. You see, as Christians, we should delight to please who? God, right, Jesus. And we do that through what we say. And so, really, when you think about it, since words are so powerful, what we say really is a reflection of our loyalty to our King. And in fact, there's a commandment that talks about that. Which one is it? There's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 of them. One of them talks about that loyalty to the King. What'd you say? The first one, yeah, you should honor God before me. The one I was thinking of was the third one. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. See, really, we're all children of the King, and just like a child can go out and do something that damages the name of the family, right? We can damage the name of the King by what we say. And so in a sense, really, our words reflect our loyalty. And for that reason alone, we should be people who value our words. Amen? I think we should. But lastly, and probably most importantly, is that our words, your words, follow you. Your words follow you. Now, this is kind of an odd thought, isn't it? That your words go before you. You know, it's interesting that someone once said that our words have a longer lifespan than we do. They truly do follow you where you go. Jesus said the same thing. He said in Matthew 12:36-37, he said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And that's a thought, isn't it? But you know, no one here today needs to fear that, do they? Because we have Jesus. You know, there was a story that was told of a young girl. She was a schoolgirl, and she had done something. She had told a lie. It was a bald-faced lie. And as all the children were outside playing, the teacher told her to stay behind, and she went up to the chalkboard, and she wrote her lie right on the chalkboard for everyone to see when they came back in. And this so disturbed that little girl that she confessed and she asked for forgiveness. And so the teacher told her to go on outside. And when she came back in, she saw that the blackboard had been erased. And friends, we can have the same thing, can't we? When we, as with a contrite heart, confess to Jesus our sins, and one of those would be our words, and then we trust in His saving grace that He will erase the blackboard of all the words that we've said, that we could have a clean heart before God. Would you like that today? Because I can tell you that I know that my words, I don't want to take them with me to judgment. I want my everything that I've ever said to be covered by the blood of the Lamb. How about you? Because our words are valuable. It reveals our hearts. They can delight the King or they can lead to disgrace. And because our words come from our hearts, we need to get our hearts right with God. We need to recommit both our hearts and our minds to Jesus. And that's what I'd like to ask us to do today. You know, someone once said that words that do not give light, the light of Christ, only increase the darkness. And that's so true. And so by a show of hands today, I'm going to ask you here today, how many of you would be happy right now taking everything that you've said to judgment? Okay, so we're in agreement. So then I'm going to ask you, how many of you here today would like to have the rich grace of Jesus cover the words that you've spoken in your life? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Proverbs and how striking and bold they reveal the power of words. I'd like to acknowledge every hand that was raised, that we're asking you, Lord, that we'd like you to cover the words that we've said in our lives. The many times that we've drawn from the flesh or simply blurted out what we do not understand. Father, give us wisdom now as we go forward when using words. Help us to ponder and spend them wisely. Father, give us hearts that are healing and grace-filled, that we too might speak words that are grace-filled, to understand one another and our needs. Let us be a place of healing, Lord, and let us start with us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.